Galatians 5 and 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I want to speak to you from this passage and largely the book of Galatians on standing firm in freedom. God bless you. Please be seated. Amen. The past 2 weeks, I've spoken from Romans 8, 1 and 2, a similar subject on the theme of conquering condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. Paul established the churches of Galatia. Galatia was a region that was under Roman rule. And he established these churches in the faith. This audience of the book of Galatia, but Galatians, it's written to the churches of Galatia. Again, not a single church, but a region. And primarily Gentiles are the audience of his book. He's writing to Gentiles who have come into the church. And he writes a rather normal prologue, his introductory statements to the brethren which are with me and to the churches of Galatia. And these are established people and all obeyed Acts 2:38, repented of their sins, been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues and set free from their sins to serve Jesus Christ. These are pagan people, and they don't have a background in Judaism. They probably were not carrying around Old Testament scriptures in their possession. They might have never seen a shred of Old Testament scripture. No New Testament scriptures were written at this time. So they seem to be doing well. They have run well, standing firm in the freedom that Christ has made them free. But Satan is never happy when you're serving God. And he always finds a way to attack your faith. So with the Gentile converts in the regions of Galatia and other places in the New Testament church, there's a group of Jewish converts, they're called Judaizers, who start teaching false doctrine. And the doctrine was essentially this. Thank God that you were born again. You obeyed Acts 2:38. You're born again of water and the Spirit. Now that you've done that, now you need to go back. All the males need to be circumcised. And all of you Jewish and Gentile converts need to keep the Old Testament ceremonial law. Not just the moral law of God, not the Ten Commandments, but all the ceremonial laws. And they were traveling around and planting seeds of doubt and seeds of really heresy into the minds of these gullible, vulnerable Gentile Christians, and especially here in the churches of Galatia, Judaizers, mandating adherence to the ceremonial law and circumcision under the law of Moses. So now these Christians, they believe what these Judaizers have taught. I told you, they're rather gullible. They're new believers. These are like trusted Christians. They've got thousands of years of history from their ancestors in Judaism. So, of course, you would trust them when they come into your life through your YouTube channel, through your social media, and they start teaching false doctrine. You might believe them. Because, after all, they seem like they are religious experts. Nothing's changed. Just the medium is different. Medium is different, right? For them, it was traveling church to church, sneaking into homes, going into synagogues, finding places where Gentile believers gathered for worship. And a great deal of damage was inflicted on the faith of these Gentile Galatian Christians. So, they turned aside from their faith. Paul wrote to them, and you can follow along. Some scriptures will be on the screen, some and not. But Galatians 1 and 6, Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another gospel. And he tells them that there are these that are troubling you. They're perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, who has deceived you, that you would not obey the truth? You know about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and you started out in the Spirit, but now you think you're going to be made perfect or perfected in the flesh. Somebody's gotten in your head, and they're turning you aside from truth to error. He said, you have turned aside, Galatians 4:9, to the beggarly elements, weak, worthless elements. And he said, are you going to go back into bondage? You were into bondage of sin. Now you're going to be in bondage to the Old Testament ceremonial law. Galatians 5:4, he said, because of this, Christ has made no effect to you. You're going back before his death, burial, and resurrection. You're living by an old covenant and not by the new. And he said, you think you're going to be justified by the law? You have fallen from grace. He asked them in 5:7, or says to them, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? You can tell that Paul's pretty fired up here. You know, I'm fired up in the spirit of Paul. And he's very upset that these converts of his, you know, he preached to them. They came to the Lord through his ministry. Marveled that they're so soon removed. And this other gospel. And then he says to them, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's anathema, maranatha, curse at the coming of the Lord. As we said before, so I say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. He'll explain to them in Galatians that the law of Moses was for a limited amount of time, and that was until Christ came. It had a limited purpose, which was to reveal sin, to define sin, and to prove that we cannot live for God by the flesh. Now they're going to go back and try to be perfect in the flesh when they had been born of the Spirit. And they're going back and submitting to the ceremonial law. And instead of surrendering to Jesus Christ, they've gone back. Now, Paul affirmed that Jew and Gentile alike have been saved by their faith in Jesus Christ. This is going back to chapter 2. He said, we are Jews by nature, born into the bloodline of Judaism. He said, we weren't sinners or pagans like the Gentiles, but we know that we're not justified by the works of the law. We, Jews, are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. We're not justified by the works of the law. So he's trying to establish a line of reasoning to them. Galatians 2:19, look at these verses. For I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, I don't think anybody here is being tempted to go live under the law. But there's an application to us that I will get to. But I want to pause to say it now. You cannot be made perfect in the flesh. You can't be made perfect. You can't please God by just doing good things without the power of the Spirit. It is a failure every time. Galatians 3 and 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, I'm repeating what I said earlier, but on the screens, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? This is a fundamental question that I want to pose tonight to all of us. You did not get in the church by your good deeds. You were not good enough to get God. You were saved by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Ghost. So we don't want to be like the Galatians and try to go back and please God by something we can do on our own without the power of the Spirit. Amen. Now Paul then says to them in Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. He said the law was a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ, but now that we have Christ, we don't need the law to bring us to Christ because we've already come to Him. He said, for you are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Not because you're Abraham's children, not because you live a perfect life on your own, but because you have been baptized into Jesus Christ and you have put on Christ. And then he tells them, there's neither Jew or Greek, bond or free, male or female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. You go all the way back past the law to Abraham, who came to God by faith. And you are the children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And then in Galatians chapter 4, this is like the world's fastest Bible study on the book of Galatians. Paul uses an allegory, and he talks about the two sons of Abraham, Ishmael and Isaac. Now, Ishmael is the son of Abraham by a bondwoman named Hagar, and Isaac is the son of Sarah, who is a miracle child, you would say, born of supernatural means, Paul would say, of the Spirit. Isaac is the child of promise, and Ishmael is a child of the flesh, born of the flesh and born of the Spirit. And Paul said, these Judaizers that are coming to you, they're like the descendants of Ishmael who would like to persecute you, just like Ishmael and the bondwoman persecuted Sarah and Isaac. And they would like to try to overthrow your faith and undermine your belief in Jesus Christ. And he said, as it was then, so it is now, that the flesh is always trying to undermine and destroy the Spirit. And so he kind of draws, not kind of, he draws this analogy. And he said, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the free woman is not going to coexist with this bondwoman. So here's what Paul is saying. In your life, believer of 2025, you cannot live in the flesh and please God, and you cannot be a child of the Spirit and try to please God in your own ability at the same time. What all of us have to do is realize that when we died in repentance, and every day when we crucify the flesh, that we are killing that ability to please God by our own means. It is only by the power of the Spirit that we can live this life and please God. And so we're the children of Abraham by faith. We are like Isaac, that son of promise, that son of the miraculous. Paul says to them in Galatians 5 and 1. So all of that to get to 5 and 1. He said, I want you to stand firm, stand fast. Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, commentators note that this verse almost jumps out there. It's a bridge verse from the previous chapters to what Paul is going to write about in chapters 5 and 6. And it's like he's had enough of these Judaizers. He's had it up to here with them. These are his babies. These are his children in the Lord. And in the original Greek of this verse, there are only four Greek words, five. He said, freedom, you, Christ, free. Amen. You've got freedom, and it's to you, and it came through Jesus Christ, and you've been set free. For freedom, Christ has set us free. It is a powerful declaration that you were dead in sins, but when Jesus Christ came into your life by the power of the Holy Ghost, through Jesus Christ, you have freedom from sin, freedom from hell, freedom from the power of the devil, the power of the flesh. Jesus Christ has set you free. So his message to them is, you have been set free, so you need to stand firm in the freedom and don't go back and don't be dragged back into condemnation. Don't be dragged back into sin and don't be dragged back into trying to live by self-righteousness alone. Amen. Because of the price that Jesus Christ paid to ransom your soul, you have been made free. So stay free. Don't go back. Don't try to live because you've been around for a while. I've been talking about this, you know, a couple of weeks. And sometimes people that have been in the church a while think maybe that, you know, I've got the culture of it. I've got this down and, you know, I can really rely on my experience, on my background. After all, I lived for God all these years. But Paul is saying to these Galatians, that law didn't save anybody. It didn't make anybody a Christian. All it did was prove that you can't serve God in the flesh. All it did was condemn you. It was a schoolmaster to bring you to what will really save you, which is the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, Paul is alluding to that the Spirit is in you, the law is in you. And I just want to show you a verse that seems disconnected from Galatians, Jeremiah 31, 33. The Lord is looking ahead to the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith God. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. So while these Judaizers are trying to get these Gentile Christians to go back and obey all the ceremonial law, what God did when he saved us was write his law in our hearts. He gave us a holy nature and an understanding of the power of God. Now, you need the Bible to define what holiness is, what godliness is, what Christianity is. But we don't need to go back and try to please God by our own ability. It is a Spirit that works in us that allows us to really live for God. The purpose of Christ's work on the cross was to set us free from sin. Amen. We are free from the ceremonial law. We are free from sin. We are free from eternal death. And Paul is making this argument that you cannot be saved by human effort alone. And he told them, if you accept circumcision, then you're going to have to go back and accept everything that came along with it, the entire package of the ceremonial law. And if you're going to try to be righteous like that, you're fallen from grace. You've been hindered in this race for living for God. Now, and then tells them, there's some conditions in this. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, you have been called into liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You've been set free, but I don't want you to go around and be condescending toward these Jews. Don't rub your freedom in their face. The Apostle Peter would write about our liberty in Jesus Christ, that we shouldn't use it as a cover-up for maliciousness or sin. We're not free from the law to live in sin. We're free to live by the spiritual law of God, by the Bible, because of the Holy Ghost. Galatians 5:16. For this I say then, Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Remember, Ishmael and Isaac, there's this war going on, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So Paul tells them once again that if you try to go back and please God in your flesh, you're going to fail every time. It is by the Spirit that you overcome the tendencies of the flesh. Now I want to say two things. Now we do believe in inward and outward holiness, but we believe that it is possible by the Holy Ghost. We do believe that we produce good works, that we live a godly life, and we do good deeds. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. And we produce the fruit of the Spirit, but it is a product of the Spirit. It is not the product of human effort alone, as if we're trying to do this in our flesh. So we do believe in what God produces in us by the power of the Spirit. And we don't use our liberty as an excuse to live like the devil. Wouldn't that be backwards? You cannot fight flesh with flesh, though. You cannot combat that nature that wants to pull you down with the power of the flesh. It has to be done in the power of the Spirit. I feel like the Lord helped me understand Galatians 5:16 when I was a rather young man. I'm going to say it again. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So I don't think we need to live our lives in a daily duel with the flesh, that we're trying to fight off the devil. You know, the devil's been after me all day, bless his holy name. And that's somebody's testimony. They got it a little confused. I think they meant bless the Lord's holy name. And give too much credit to the devil. The devil's been after me. He's dragging me down. And that devil, well, I want you to know that Jesus Christ defeated the devil on the cross. Amen. He has no power over you. So what Paul is telling these Galatians, I don't want you to go back under the Old Testament law. You can't do it. It won't work for you. But what I do want you to do, I want you to walk in the Spirit. And if you will focus on the positive, if you will focus on walking in the Spirit, then as a result of being spiritually minded, you will have life and peace, and you will put to death the works of the flesh, and you won't go back under your old life. But you've got to walk in the Spirit. Amen. Now, we all believe this fundamentally, but when we don't pray, we don't really practice what we preach or say we believe. Amen. You know, it's like someone, if you have the Holy Ghost, but then do not surrender your life and walk in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, I've talked about this recently, we should also walk in the Spirit. If you have the Holy Ghost living inside of you, then you need to submit yourself to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life. You've got the Spirit. So walk in obedience to the Spirit. Walk in the steps of your Father, right? So walk in that. Amen. But Paul is saying to them, you've been set free. Now you need to stand firm in this freedom. Don't be dragged back in trying to please God by your own ability. You've got to do this by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Is this mystical or mysterious? Well, it is spiritual, but it isn't mysterious. It isn't for some super spiritual person, for the elites. It's for every believer, every child of God. Amen. This is possible for you, no matter where you work, no matter who you work around, no matter the environment you're subjected to, not some environments people choose to get in, no matter what the world around you is, this is possible by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Walking in the Spirit means to live a life guided by and empowered by the Holy Ghost. Amen. not allowing that lower nature to pull you down and giving in to that. But as you walk in the Spirit, God will empower you to overcome the flesh. It is similar to what the Bible said, that if you will submit to God, you can resist the devil. If you walk in the Spirit, you have power over the flesh. If you walk in obedience to Jesus Christ, He will give you authority over that downward pull of sin and the flesh. So we walk in the Spirit. We surrender our will to the will of God. I've been just bearing down on this a little bit here and there lately, but self-will is an enemy to the will of God. I don't mean just the devil or doing devious things, all kind of despicable acts. I'm talking about being self-willed, running your own life, doing your own thing, rejecting spiritual authority. And I'm not just talking about a pastor, God's authority, the authority of the Bible. Amen. Hopefully what you always hear taught here is the Bible. So it's not my will against your will. It's God's will against every human will. And let the will of the Lord be done. Amen. Not about pastor and saint. It's about God and Christian. Amen. So we surrender our will to the will of God. And as we do, there is a power that comes in our lives through the Holy Ghost. Amen. We believe in the power of prayer, right? Paul said, sometimes I pray with the understanding, and then there are times I pray in the Spirit. And Jude wrote that we should keep ourselves in the love of God by praying in the Holy Ghost. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14:4 that when you speak in an unknown tongue, you edify yourself, you build yourself up. So while you may pray, petitionary prayers, talking to God, I believe in talking to God and meditating, we need to engage spiritually praying in the Holy Ghost, amen, so that the power of God is working in us, flowing out of us. Because you can't be perfected by just saying little pretty prayers. You've got to have the power of Holy Ghost praying in your life. Amen. Amen. Walk in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Amen. Worship God in the Spirit, the Bible says. Amen. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Getting in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Sometimes a new believer that hasn't learned to surrender themselves to the Lord finds it difficult. They may receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, then there might be a while before they speak in tongues again. And I don't think that just speaking in tongues for 2 minutes is God's seal of approval on your life. It means in that moment you surrender to God. Amen? And we need the power of the Holy Ghost. And then we walk out of that atmosphere and we don't become carnal. When we stop speaking in tongues, we let the Spirit continue to let the fruit of the Spirit be developed in our lives. Amen. So we need the power of the Holy Ghost. And then we need the power of the Word of God. Amen. I believe in Bible reading and, continuously read the Bible. And when I finish, I start at the beginning and read it through again and try to get it in my spirit so God has something to work with. It's in my mind. He can bring it to my mind because I put it there by the discipline of Bible reading. But this walking in the Spirit is a little more than that. I think it's, and I should have put this verse on the screens, Colossians 3:16, when Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So in other words, it's not just having a Bible, not just listening to or reading your Bible, not just knowing a few verses, but it's letting this word get inside of you and shaping the way you think. It is being spiritually minded that brings life and peace as opposed to being carnally minded that brings death, all right? So we need to get this word of God in our head, in our spirit, so that it is the word of Christ dwells richly in us in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. James 1:21, He said that we needed to receive the engrafted word of God. It means implanted. When I was a teenager, my grandfather, who is really good at all kinds of gardening, taught me how to graft a mango tree. In case you don't know, Miami, Florida, South Florida, mango trees. And he taught me how to cut the bark down to the cambium layer and on either side, and to graft in the type of fruit you want to produce onto that old wild mango tree that is growing up from a seed. And I learned that just because it's a mango tree doesn't mean it's going to produce a sweet, good fruit. I love mangoes, and you go to the store, and about 90% of the time, I am super disappointed because I grew up on really good mangoes. And the pastor of my home church, Mark Cattaball, in his backyard has trees that my grandfather planted and grafted. When I go down there every March for a day of meetings, my sister Hattaball brings us mango from that tree. It's the same taste because it's been grafted in. Well, what I want to produce in my life is not what grows up naturally in me, not even what grows up because of the way I was raised in the church, but I want the word of God to be grafted into me so it changes the way I think and my attitudes and my actions. I want it to produce the same fruit of righteousness and the fruit of the Spirit. So you've got to cut away the flesh. And you've got to graft in the word of God so it produces something in you that is like the original, like what you really want to taste. Amen. Receive the engrafted word of God. Amen. So Paul tells them, my goodness, look what God did for you. You were Gentiles, sinners. You didn't know God at all. But Jesus Christ forgave you of your sins. You are baptized into Christ. You have the Holy Ghost living inside of you. Why in the world would you let someone subvert your faith? You ran well. Who did hinder you that you would not obey the truth? You started in the Spirit. Do you think you can be perfected in the flesh? And I'd like to say to every old timer, everybody that's been around for a while, none of us can be perfect in the flesh. We cannot do this in the power of human energy or ability or experience. No matter how many years we live for God, every day we need to walk in the Spirit, listen to God, be submitted to the Lord in our lives. Amen. You've been set free. We need to stand firm in the freedom of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Galatians 5:1 again. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Refuse to let that old tendency, you know, the Pharisees, Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, the strictest religious group sect of the Jews, and they were very condescending. They had a lot of spiritual disciplines in their life, which is a good thing. Paul said, I lived that strict life. But he said, those things that were gained to me are lost for Christ. He had to put all of that away. Doesn't mean that he started living like the devil. All of that that was part of his life was wonderful. But he knew that just by that upbringing, for all the advantages that he had, and the Bible asks the question, what advantages does the Jew have? They have much in every way. They had a lot of advantages. If you, like I, was raised in the church, there's a lot of advantages to being raised in the church. But being raised in the church alone will not save me. I must have the power of God at work in my life daily, daily, daily. Amen. To walk in the Spirit. To stand firm in the freedom that Jesus Christ has brought in my life. Amen. So I want to take you back to the text of the last 2 weeks, Romans 8:1. Now I want to read 6 verses. The musicians can come, give us hope. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And then I want to go on. Paul said, and this is tied to Galatians, to what I've been teaching tonight, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. I want to pause right here. Paul said that the weakness of the law was not that it was imperfect. It was the revealed nature of God. The law was perfect. But what it taught us was that we were not. It taught us that we couldn't do this on our own. It made sin even more sinful. It just defined sin. And the weakness of the law was that no man could keep it. And everybody failed. It was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. If you want to know, a carnal person, they're always thinking about, tending to, going after the things that are of that base nature, the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, after the Spirit, they are mindful of the things of the Spirit. None of us are inherently spiritual. And Paul talked about following after and trying to become what God saved him to become. And I just was struck here again when Paul said, if you're after the Spirit, you're pursuing a life of spirituality, then you are pursuing the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you're able, please stand. I want the life and the peace that comes from walking in the Spirit. So tonight, I just want to encourage you with Galatians 5 and 1 that you stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We have been set free. So let's stand firm in the freedom of the Spirit.